Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bring him in now, Andrew Brandt, the former Packers VP, columnist for MMQB and The Athletic, and the host of the Business of Sports podcast. Andrew, how you been, buddy?
I've been well, Bill. Always good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. A lot of people trying to figure out the Aaron Rodgers contract, the business that is, why they didn't go after Khalil Mack. And a guy that's been inside the walls of 1265 kind of gets it better than anybody. That's the reason I wanted to kind of rely on your knowledge here. So let's start off with the Aaron Rodgers contract and all that money guaranteed up front. So give me your thoughts when you heard that.
Yeah, Bill, I think we talked earlier. I thought this was a really hard contract to do. I thought that the obstacle of the contract was 2 years remaining, that in a normal situation, Aaron Rodgers would have so much leverage where he would be able to get some of the things that were talked about in the media throughout the summer, where maybe even an adjustable contract, if some quarterback passes him by, he adjusts to that, or percentage of cap. We knew he was going to have a ton of money thrown at him. That's the easy part for the Packers. And if I'm sitting in the Packers chair, I now have Aaron Rodgers under contract for 6 years, knowing the market's only going up. And that is valuable. And I didn't have to resort to any bells and whistles in the contract, such as these variable options, to do it. I think the Packers are feeling pretty good about it. And I actually thought Aaron's best leverage was to wait until next year, and that's easy for me to say when they're offering $100 million
right,
guaranteed. So too good to pass up, and the Packers are lucky to get that done.
So, and I had said before, like, look, I agree with you, Aaron could have kind of waited. Then again, when you've got $100-plus million sitting on the table and you're going into a season, you know you've had a couple of broken collarbones, it may not be the worst thing in the world to say, I'll take the money and run.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think injury might be part of it. I just think that, you know, once they started negotiating, I thought the Packers were in good shape because, you know, they were talking about Aaron Rodgers, you know, upset about someone who left or Jordy or whatever. But if that was the case, he just wouldn't negotiate. And if it was the case that he wanted to get closer to free agency, he just wouldn't have negotiated. And it sounded like they were negotiating all summer. So once I heard that, I'm like, they're going to get this done, if they really are, because, you know, the Packers are easily going to make him the highest paid player. But the point is, because he had 2 years left, his contract doesn't look a whole hell of a lot different than Matt Ryan's, and that Matt Ryan's not the player Aaron is, but Matt Ryan only had 1 year left and doesn't look a lot crazier than Kirk Cousins. And he's nowhere near Aaron Rodgers. Kirk is, but Kirk was a free agent. That balances the equation. That gave Kirk a lot of leverage compared to Aaron.
So now we fast forward. Everybody believes that there's cap room. There's the ability to make moves and go out and get somebody else. Was the Khalil Mack deal just way too big for the Packers to absorb?
I don't know what went into that, but, you know, that's an all-in deal. I think it's more the draft than the money with the Packers. I mean, can you really see the Packers giving up two number ones for anyone? Not named like Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't see that, and I don't see it from a Bears perspective. Everyone's bashing the Raiders, but I would never give up two number ones for anything, even have to think about a franchise quarterback. I just don't get it. I mean, that is, forget about the contract. I mean, that's the biggest contract for a defensive player. We expected that, but you're mortgaging your future. The Packers value draft choices, I think, as much as anyone. So I think it's bad over the money.
At what point, because I get it, and if Aaron Rodgers is 27, I'm saying the same thing. Everybody knows there's a window of 4, 5, 6 years. Is there a point that you say, while we have this icon in our grasp, we have to then push our chips to the middle of the table?
Yeah, I think so, but I don't know how you quantify that. that means spending franchise money for a defensive player like that. I don't know. It seems like they've spent a lot. The Packers are not a low-spending team. They have big-time contracts for Clay Matthews, for Nick Perry, for Devontae Adams. You know, you can only have so many of those. You've got to pick and choose. And they've got guys coming up in the future. So nothing's changed between Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst. It's reward your guys, core players, identify them, sign them up. They're still going to do that.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans are crossing their fingers that Clay and Nick Perry both can stay healthy for the amount of money they're making, specifically Clay going into a contract year. I know Clay's wanting to stay healthy as well. Hey, I want to ask you, I want to take you outside of the Packers, but I want to ask about the Le'Veon Bell situation. So he's decided not to sign that that contract, not to sign the franchise tag. In a case like this, where is a franchise? You just got to sit there and wait? I mean, how tough is this?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised because it's $885,000 a week. I still think, I know, maybe I'm naive, I still think Bell shows up as long as he's on the roster tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. He gets that money. Now, maybe he won't be ready to play, which probably is fine with him, and maybe fine with the Steelers, the wear and tear issue. But that's really what it gets down to for running backs. I mean, they know that they have a limited number of carries in their body, and I guess Bell and his agent are trying to preserve that. It's one way to do it. You know, I think he'll show. If not this week, next week. I don't see any way that these people are talking about him sitting out weeks and weeks. I don't see that happening.
Looking at the rest of the NFL, you got a big contract for a defensive lineman out in Los Angeles. The numbers are going up. The guaranteed money's going up. One of the things we got into this discussion about the other night, and I was talking to a couple of people off the air, was is the NFL starting to head into dangerous water by guaranteeing a lot of this money and then therefore strapping yourself if indeed something does happen to those particular players? Are they walking up a slippery slope right now?
They're not, because I've analyzed these contracts. They're not guaranteed. I mean, they're guaranteed the first couple of years when there's really low risk for the team. I mean, even Aaron Rodgers is not really guaranteed past year two or maybe year three. So, you know, listen, I get asked all the time, why aren't NFL contracts guaranteed? It's a great question. A lot of people say, well, you know, the injury risk and well, the injury risk should be a reason why to guarantee it if you're coming from a player point of view. If you're coming from an owner point of view, yeah, the injury risk. But any negotiation, I'm sure anyone listening knows, if you are status quo, you're in the best position. The owners, the teams, have never had to guarantee past two or three years of a long-term deal. I don't know what's going to change that. Maybe collective bargaining, maybe people like Kirk Cousins pushing the envelope. But it's an uphill climb for the players.
Real quick before I let you go, when you mentioned that, the other question is you got a collective bargaining agreement on the horizon. Players, or at least the posturing coming from the Players Association, has always been be ready for a work stoppage. Do you think there is one? I know we're a couple years away, but do you think there is one?
Yeah, I mean, I think the owners probably will lock them out if they don't get a deal done, just to have the leverage. It's easier to negotiate a deal when the players aren't getting paid. But I just think all this talk about Armageddon in 3 years is really unfortunate because Roger Goodell and Dee Smith both have contracts going past 2021, so why not do a deal? And there seems to be some resistance why they don't do a deal. I don't get why they don't do a deal, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just lack of trust, lack of relationship between the two.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us for a couple of minutes. Look forward to seeing you real soon, okay?
Likewise, Bill. Take care.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Andrew Brand, former Packers VP, kind of the capologist of the Green Bay Packers for so many years, the columnist for the MMQB and The Athletic, and host of the Business of Sports podcast, and sound like a domesticate as well. As Gary Ellerson just texted me and said, I think he's doing his dishes. Maybe he's on the road or something. So thanks to Andrew Brand for joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or
I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.